Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today. In lieu of kind of having sometimes our popcorn preaching, I'm going to give time to an individual that came to me and said, hey, kind of got a message. And so I'm going to let Chris Hendrick come up. And he's going to show us some things that the Lord has shown to him. So go ahead and come on up, brother. Got a water up here in case you need it. So...
Good afternoon. I'd like to first of all thank Pastor Stewart for the opportunity to be up here. I don't take it lightly. It's handling the Word of God, and you don't want to do it haphazardly. And before we begin, let's pray. Lord, it's been good to be in your house, and we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we've had to hear your Word preached this morning and in the Sunday school lesson. And we're thankful, Lord, for the fellowship and the food that we had for the potluck. And Lord, now as we gather around the feast of your Word, we pray and ask, Lord, that you'd open hearts and ears and eyes spiritually to receive your word as it's preached. And Lord, more importantly, I ask, Father, that I would vanish and disappear behind your word, and that your word be magnified, glorified, and honored as it's preached. The words that are said, the tones that is said in, that it would not come from me, it would come all from you. And for that, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, which I trust you do, I'm going to turn to the book of 3 John. Last of the small books written by the Apostle John. And this book has 14 verses, but we are going to be focusing mainly on verses 9 through 12. And in verse 9, John writes, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Title of the sermon was Diotrephes or Demetrius? Which one are you? Diotrephes, let's look at him first. His name appears only once in the Bible. And that's in 3 John. Demetrius, his name appears three times. In the book of Acts, as craftsmen building statues for Diana in Ephesus. He also appears, his name appears in 3 John. I highly doubt that he's related to the Demetrius in that book of Acts. If he is, perhaps he got saved. But Diotrephes, he wanted to be number one. Preeminent, he says preeminence. He connects it. Diotrephes to preeminence. Preeminence as to have the controlling power or influence over others. Controlling power or influence. I'm the big wheel. Everything comes through me. I'm number one. That was Diotrephes. However, in a Christian's life, who should have the preeminence in all things in matters of faith and practice? Obvious answer. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has the preeminence, again, in all things. If you have your Bibles, again, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Colossae, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He has the preeminence. The other thing you know about Diotrephes, he has a pride problem. He's proud. I'm number one. I run things in this church. I get to bring people in. I get to cast people out. I get to control everything in this church. Pride. Who else had pride? Who's the father of the children of pride? Satan. God has a very dim view of pride. In Proverbs chapter 6, very familiar verses, if you turn there. In verse 16 through 19, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. First one, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Diotrephes hit every checkpoint in these verses. He was proud. He had a lying tongue. His hands were shedding not physical innocent blood, but spiritually speaking, ripping the brethren in the church to pieces, casting them out because they disagreed with him. That's shedding spiritual innocent blood, downgrading the brethren, attacking them, belittling them, throwing them out of the church. That's wicked. God hates that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Diotrephes thinking, what am I going to do next? How much more am I being able to control and consolidate my power in this church? Feet that be swift to run into mischief. I'm going to go over here to this other church, and I'm going to start duplicating the same thing that I'm doing here. That's Diotrephes. False witness that speaketh lies. Again, attacking the brethren, attacking people that are coming in the church from the outside, missionaries that are coming in. He that soweth discord among the brethren, splitting the church. You don't want to be involved in a church split. It's not a happy time. Trust me, I know. I was involved in one. It's not happy. We're supposed to have unity. We're supposed to be a unified body. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, does the foot have anything to say to the eye? Does the eye have anything to say to the ear? We're all members of one body. No one has more superiority over anyone else in the body of Christ. Our superior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all in the same boat. Do you remember where God found you before you got saved? Do you remember what you were before God saved you? I do. People have a Christian walk. I prefer to be more realistic. I had a Christian stumble. Failures, shortcomings, mistakes, sin. All on me because of my flesh. It was my fault for not following the Lord more closely. My fault, not his, mine. It's all on me. I owned that. But by God's grace, you go to the foot of the cross. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every part of the body has that ability and has that gift to go to the Lord. We're unified. We're a body. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the lips, the tongue, the hands, the feet. We're all of one body. The body should work and function in symphony and harmony together, not in division. Paul writes, I hear there's divisions among you. There shouldn't be divisions. You shouldn't be backstabbing and backbiting each other. But this is what Diotrephes was all about. He was sowing that discord to control. That's Diotrephes. And God resists pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Peter writes, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Pride is a very, very wicked thing. And we should be doing everything we can to resist. God resisteth the proud. I'd rather have grace and be humble. And God will reward pride. He will reward it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse 10. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he writes, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Man looks on the outward. God looks at your heart. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you are in this church, God knows the intent and knows why you're doing it. If you're doing it to magnify yourself, if you're doing it to lift up yourself, if you're doing it to say, "Hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing." You've already got your reward. And in that judgment, gone, nothing. Absolutely gone. Nothing there. God judges what you do for the intent of your heart and your mind. Whenever the Lord in his ministry had the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers in front of him, there were a few times that the Bible would say he knew what they were thinking. He knew what was in their heart. You can't hide anything from God. You cannot hide anything from him. He knows what you're doing. He knows why you're doing it. And he knows, more importantly, who you're doing it for. Everything you do should be for his honor, his glory, and his praise. Not to point people to you, but to point to him.
Amen.
You're out in this world. I'm telling you what right now. If you are one way here inside these four walls, and you're something completely contrary outside the four walls, brothers, sisters, the world is watching you. They will judge you based upon what they see. Well, some calls himself a Christian. Well, look at what he's doing. Look at what she's doing. Where's your testimony? If you're drugged into court and they charge you for being a Christian, what kind of evidence would they have? Would they have, oh, maybe a little bit here, a little bit there? Or would they have a volume of evidence to prove you were? The lost are watching you. And also other Christians are watching you. The lost watching you because they're looking for something. They won't admit it, but they are looking for something. And they may see you, and you may be, as the old song says, the only Bible that they will ever read. It's important to hold your testimony. It's important to know what you're doing and why you're doing it for him. It's important. The world beats us up enough as it is. Don't give them any more opportunities. The world hates you enough as it is because they first hated him. Do your best. Trust the Lord for the rest. Walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Keep your eyes on him. And keep plowing and keep planting seeds in your testimony, your walk with him. If your walk and your talk are contrary to each other and don't match, they'll see it right away. Trust me, they will. They will see it right away. Life is strange. You arrive with nothing. You spend your whole life chasing everything. And you still leave with nothing. And make sure your soul gains more than your hands, which is salvation through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure of that. If you're not saved and you're listening to this, get saved. Yes. Grab a hold of a Christian. Get saved before it's too late. Demetrius had a good report among all men and the Lord. Because why? He followed the example of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to pick it up at verse 5. Paul writes to the church of Philippi, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Demetrius followed, I believe, the example of the Lord, and he humbled himself. He followed the example of the Lord, and he made himself of no reputation. Absolutely, diametrically opposite of Diotrephes. Demetrius saw himself as what he was, a member of the body, member of the church, a fellow laborer with his other church members, doing the best with the gifts that God gave him that he possibly could to magnify the Lord, to give him the honor and glory and praise that he alone deserves, and to win souls. God gives you gifts. God gives you gifts for his glory and for his honor and for his praise. God gives you gifts so he can use you. It doesn't matter what capacity, and doesn't matter what gift. It could be the most smallest microscopic gift. Are you using it for him? God desires to use you. God desires to work through you. And God desires, more importantly, to see you grow in grace. You may not be a singer. You may not play the piano. You may not preach or teach. You may just occupy a chair. But if you're faithful and you give and you pray and your witness shines as bright here as it does outside, he's using you.
Amen.
Just because I don't have any gifts, I can't do anything. Yeah, you can. Pray for the preacher. He's going into surgery. Amen. Pray for Brother Doyle's wife.
Amen.
Pray. Oh, and also, I know you heard this before. Read this.
Yeah,
study this.
Amen.
Apply this. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing and your walk is something else. Again, I'm revisiting that. The world will see that immediately and write you off as another Hollywood holiness Christian. A bag of hot air playing a game. This is not a game. This is eternity.
Yeah.
People's souls. People you know. People you work with. Family members. Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Straighten up, fly right. The church has enough hypocrites. The church has enough Diotrephes in it right now. We need to have more Demetrius. More of him. Demetrius, he humbled himself before the Lord. He was humble. Book of Micah, chapter 6. The prophet writes, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." God's not looking for this. Look at me. No, God's looking for humbleness. The Pharisee and the publican, in the Gospels, the Pharisee, "I thank thee, God. I thank thee, God. I thank thee, God. I do this. I do that. I fast. I tithe. I give all the, all about him." And the crown it all off, he said, "And I thank you mostly, and first of all, Lord," paraphrasing, "that I'm not like that publican down there." And the publican wouldn't even raise his eyes up. And he smote his breast. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And what did the Lord say? That man went to his house justified. The Pharisee, no. Because the Pharisee's religion was all about himself. Diotrephes, all about himself. All about himself. All about him. It's not about him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Period. End of story. He was a servant of the Lord. Demetrius was. Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Colossae, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Amen. Demetrius was a servant, not only of the Lord, but it would be safe to say that in his secular job, that Demetrius was a good servant, that he was a good worker. It was part of his testimony. It was part of his testimony. God forbid that a Christian should have a rotten testimony with his employer. Well, what about so-and-so? Well, yeah, he's always taking breaks. Well, what about so-and-so? Well, yeah, he hasn't got back from his three-hour lunch. Yeah. I mean, come on. If you're going to labor for the Lord here, laboring for the Lord outside the walls is being faithful to your job, being a good testimony. Demetrius was a good testimony, and he was a good laborer in the church, and he was also a good laborer, I would be led to believe, in a secular job, wherever that may have been. We don't know. And he was steadfast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Your labor in this church, from time to time, it may get a little bit weary. It may get a little bit tiresome. It may get a little bit mundane and monotonous. We're human. But it's not in vain if you remember you're not working for you. You're working for him.
Amen.
We're one body. We're a unit. Nobody has anything above each other. We're all together in this. We're all together. The Titanic was sinking. Illustration time. The Titanic was sinking. A lifeboat was lowered. They cut loose the lines. It was bobbing around close to the ship. And if you've ever been involved with a sinking ship, what is the first thing you do? You row away. Or else you'll get sucked under. As Titanic was going under, the lifeboat was bobbing close to the sinking ship. They were, 90% of them were refusing to row. Somebody finally stood up at the bow of the lifeboat and said, "Listen, grab an oar, start rowing away. If we don't work together to row away, we're going to die." They grabbed the oars and they started rowing away. And the boat did not go down with the ship. Church, fellow laborers, grab an oar. They're lost out on the sea of life. Grab an oar, start rowing. Witnessing, passing out tracts, letting your light shine, not being a hypocrite, having a good testimony from those within and without. That's all part of labor in the lifeboat of the church. That's all part of the labor. Another thing of Demetrius is he had a love for the brethren. 1 Peter chapter 1. Where Peter writes in verse 22 and 23, he writes, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Love the brethren. I know it's hard sometimes, but love the brethren. Simple, plain. You know, it's been said, "Oh, for the saints to live together in glory, that'll be great. But for the saints to live down here, well, that's another story." You know, it is. I mean, trust me. Church splits.
Right?
Hello?
Yeah.
I've heard of a church split over a bag of potato chips.
What?
Yes. Great church, soul winning church, hard preaching church. Love that book. Had a dinner on the grounds. Two main families, two big families in this church. Table, bag of chips, unopened. It's important to know it was unopened. They send people over to get stuff off the table. One family member from a big family, the big family, and the other member from the big family. They reach out, they grab the bag of potato chips at the same time. "That's mine. No, it's mine. That's mine." That's, ripped it, potato chips flying all over the place. Next thing you know, a spiritual nuclear warhead went off in the middle of that church and destroyed it over a bag of potato chips. Moses, sandals, come on, man. Over a bag of potato chips. A bag of chips. Is it really that bad? Yeah, it's that bad. Under the sound of my voice, I want to do a quick question. How many of in this, now be honest, we're in church. How many of us have been involved in a church split? Raise your hands. Okay, keep your hands up. During the church split, how many were approached by a member of the church, either side, and was asked to leave because it would calm things down? I see I'm not alone. I see I'm not alone. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God.
Right.
an absolute stench. Love one another. That's a commandment from the Lord. Love one another. Be kind one to another. Show charity one to another. And don't give me this, well, that's just the way I am. No, no. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Walk that way. Not after the flesh. You're a new creature. You're a new creature. And anything you do contrary to this book, no matter what it is, you grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He sealed you to the day of redemption. Not your flesh, because you know, you've got to keep that under control. You have to change the way you think. And you also have to keep in mind, in changing the way you think, you have to bridle and control the flesh. Put your flesh under subjection. Pastor Stewart referred to it this morning in the book of Romans. What you want to do, you don't do. But the things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. Trust me, I know it's hard. I struggle with it every day. I struggle with it every moment. We all do. If you say you don't, guess what? You're a liar. I can't say it any better. Walk in the Spirit and won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Most importantly, though, Demetrius, he had a love for the Lord. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Personal testimony. I remember what I was before I got saved. I was a filthy, rotten, vile wretch. I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. I knew what I was. And I knew what was ahead of me. Did I care? No. Pride. Well, you know, agnostic looking at it. You know, well, after I die, it's all over. But deep down in my heart, because it says in the Bible, it says, it's imparted to each man to know. But deep down in my heart, I knew there was something more. So I went looking for something more. I didn't find it. I was the guy that was kind of weird. I know it's hard to believe. But I was the guy in the neighborhood that when the kids would go and like play war, you know, hey, yeah, boom, 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 you know, I always wanted to play the Germans. And you know, I was steeped in Nazi ideology. Mein Kampf. You know, that guy, scramble brains. And God saved me from that. I have a love for minorities. I have a love for the Jewish people now. Before that, nope. But God has a way of taking an old sinner cleaning him up, filling him with his Spirit, and putting him on the right track to do his will and to live for him. I live for him who died for me. Why not? He gave everything he had. Why aren't we? I mean, missionary C.T. Studd, who lived from 1860 to 1931, he wrote this: only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. What are you doing for him? We do so much for ourselves. And life gets in the way. Work, family, things like that. But instead of it getting in the way, use it as an opportunity to shine for him. Now, men, I've spoken of hypocrisy, okay? Bear with me. The area where men, and this is confession time for me, the area that men really fail in is home. You come to church, you bring your family to church, kids go to Sunday school, you sing hymns, you follow along in your Bible, you read some of your Bible, get involved with the prayer, you go home. Men, if you're not the same at home than you are here, you need to change the way you think, and you need to change the way you do things, because your family sees you. And I say this to my family. I am sorry, and I beg your forgiveness for my attitude, for my temperament, from absolute hypocrisy at home, and not living the same life there as I do here. And I beg your forgiveness. I'm telling you right now in public, I am sorry. Again, please forgive me. And I'm going to try from this moment forward to change the way I think, and to change the way I act, and to change the way I behave. The greatest mission field you men have is your home. The greatest mission field. Not saying that overseas missions is not important. You lose your family, the world's got them. Teach them how to pray. Teach them to read your Bible. Get them used to coming to church and serving in the church. Because if not, the world will take them like that. The world will take them. And that's all I have. It's what the Lord gave me. And if I did get a little loud, a little boisterous, that's called preaching. Pastor.